Our epistle lesson will also serve as our sermon text this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. But you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who made a good confession as a witness before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this command without spot and without fault until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will make known at the proper time, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or is able to see. To him be honor and power forever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to those words from our epistle lesson, 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll read the first verse and a half. But you, O man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. This is the word of our God. And we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, there the pitcher stands all alone on that high mound in the middle of the field. It's the bottom of the ninth inning. The bases are loaded, and the team is clinging to a one-run lead. But that pitcher has given up two runs already and now walked the bases loaded, so out comes the manager to give him a little pep talk. And what does he say? Does he say, well, if you've walked three batters, you've given up two runs, and you're in quite a pickle? No, he says, there's two outs. We're up by one run. And yeah, forget about the bases. They don't matter. And forget about the runs that you gave up. Those don't matter either. There's one thing that matters. It's the person that's standing in that batter's box right now. You have one out to get. You go get that out. And the manager pats him on the backside and turns around and walks confidently back to the dugout. And that pitcher is steeled for the job, the singular focus on the job that he has to do. One thing to do. Get the next batter out. That's what God is doing for the Christian in this text. Yes, Paul is speaking to Timothy, but really, God is speaking to us and to all Christians as he gives this pep talk, and he steels us for the one task at hand. To love God above all things. Now, I looked at this text several times, and I struggled at first to find where it says, love God above all things. In fact, the words aren't found there. It's hard to find that, perhaps you may think, as you read through this text. But as you look more closely, you see that that's exactly what Paul is implying as he speaks to Timothy. Love God above all things. And in the context, he's telling him to flee from everything else. Flee from those things. Which things? Those things which turn you away from God, that are the opposite of God. Specifically, in the context of 1 Timothy chapter 6, he's speaking about false teachings and about the love of money. As Christians, we are to run as fast as we can away from those things. As we run away from false teachings, we aren't led astray by those ideas or let them have any foothold in our heart. And we run away from the love of money, and we don't let that drive us, don't let that inspire us or lure us into its clutches. And as you run away from those worldly things, at the same time, you are running to one thing alone, to God above all else. And what a joy when you do. Because there you are running to eternal life. There you are running to the one who has immortality, who gives immortality to us. Yes, so we see in this pep talk from God, it's peppered with imperatives. Flee, God says. Pursue, fight, take hold of. I charge you in the presence of God that you keep this command without spot and without fault. These are the direct commands from God, solemn charges given by God through his inspired apostle Paul. Here God is giving you his pep talk, giving Christians his pep talk to those believers in the face of all these commands and attention seekers in life vying for the priority and first place in life, vying for your heart. God is calling you to a singular focus, to his command. And all of these imperatives are introduced by this very emphatic word at the beginning. You, at the front, combined with that apposition, that appositive statement. You, man of God, reminding you who you truly are. Letting you know that this is coming from God. And letting know that this you is one who belongs to God. Yes, and this text doesn't just say God first. But this text says God only. Paul calls Timothy a man of God. That leaves no room to be a man of wealth or a man of worldliness or a man of hobbies and interests. You are a man of God. And that is the only room there is for God. Then also his charge, his command is in the presence of God. We stand before God. He sees, he knows. You think about that in that Old Testament lesson when God gave his command to strap the sword on your side and walk through the camp slaying your brother and your sister and your neighbor and your friend. And God was searching the heart as he gave that command. Not just to see if they would follow his actions, but to see how their hearts squirmed at the thought of what they had to do. Yes, this is this God who pays attention to our body language when we hear his commands. Love God first means love God only. He pays attention to our thoughts when we hear his commands. He judges the deepest recesses of our hearts when we encounter that command to love God above all things. Allow this analogy as we consider what God gives us to do. Flee and pursue. You can't drive in two different directions at the same time. Let's say you have to go to the grocery store and the post office. Even if they're kind of in the same general direction, you can't go to both of them at the same time. Either you go directly to one or directly to the other. The same is true in our walk of faith as we fight that good fight of faith. As a Christian, so often we love to think that we can follow Christ and at the same time have room in our hearts to follow other passions, other pursuits. But that's not possible. You cannot have a drive for both at the same time. It's one or the other. Either you are guided by God or you are driven by others. So that's why Paul urges Timothy so strongly, flee from these things. You can't pursue Christ without running away from money. You can't pursue Christ without running away from false teaching and worldliness. You can only go in one direction or the other. Wow. That strikes us down, doesn't it? It strikes us all, because how many of us, how often don't we have that motive in our heart which is driven by money or guided by success or popularity in the world? But we cannot have God and this. We cannot have God and something else on the side. It's God or no God. It's an either or, not a both and when it comes to our fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And we see how squishy our commitment is to God when we examine it in those terms. Instead, we like to think that we can have our cake and eat it too. I can be a man of God and a man of means. I can be a man of God and a man of great wealth. Look at what is available to me. in this great country where I live. And God doesn't ask me. He hasn't asked me to give it up. He can't, because he's allowed all this success and all this prosperity and wealth. And I'm still a good standing member at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. What a great life I have. I have God and. And how deceived we are. Because God does demand that I give up everything for him. Didn't you hear Jesus' words in the gospel lesson? Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And we see we don't deserve Jesus. We're not worthy of him because we haven't even been asked to take up the cross, or so we think. If God didn't really want me to have this, then he would have taken it away from me. So the fact that he hasn't taken it away means that he hasn't asked me to give it up. Oh, we don't deserve Jesus. We're not worthy of him. And if we're unsure about that command from God, either him or that. Not a both and when it comes to God. If we're unclear about that, then repeat it again in the verse of the day is, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Can it be more direct? Either follow me or you don't have me. Either deny yourself or you deny your God. Yes or no, with God or without God. And as God gives his pep talk to the Christian and speaks of good confessions, we're put to shame because we know that our confessions just aren't that good. Our commitments to Jesus are half-hearted because deep down we opine that a half-hearted commitment will be enough for God. We think an average or even an above-average confession will satisfy God. If I love God with this much of my heart instead of my whole heart, that will be enough. And what a poor excuse for a confession that is. That is a lack of love for God by our lukewarm love for God. But in Jesus, God's pep talk to the Christian, he points to a better confession. And it was a confession that puts our confession to shame. But at the same time, it was a confession that was given in place of ours. A confession that was more than good. It was perfect. It was full commitment to the love of God. One that actually gave itself up for the sake of love for God. One that very truly, very, very literally divided Father from Son. Paul points to that confession. I charge you in the presence of Christ Jesus, who made a good confession as a witness before Pontius Pilate. And then our eyes are drawn to that one thing that is most important. That good confession that was made by our Savior Jesus Christ. Even before Pontius Pilate, the one who stood there to condemn him to death for you and for me. And on that day that he was crucified for my sins, his confession was good, holy, perfect, and pure, fully committed to a perfect love of God above. And it was for our sakes. This is what he confessed so perfectly before Pilate. I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And Paul referred to that good confession that our Savior Jesus Christ made, to the truth. And what was that truth? That he came into this world to save this world from sin, to rule over sin and death and hell by his perfect life, by his perfect confession, his perfect sacrifice and death, and perfect resurrection. And that is the voice of truth that we then contend for and pursue and fight for. Fight the good fight of faith So Paul said, I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who made a good confession as a witness before Pontius Pilate that you keep this command without spot and without fault until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which command? What command should we keep without spot and without fault until Jesus appears? Charged to do in the presence of the life-giving God, of the self-sacrificing Savior? Which command are we charged to keep without spot and without fault perfectly? All or nothing? Either or? Love God above all things. Yes. This is the God who is worthy of our worship and our praise. And the greatest worship that we can perform is a belief in His Word and an obedience to His commands. And then we see that He is the only one who rules and governs our life, the blessed and only ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we see that He is the only one with immortality. He is the only one who comforts and consoles me in the face of sickness and even death, who gives me that immortality, as he says, who alone has immortality, who lives in unapproachable light. And he is the one that I honor in life and then even in death, as he says, whom no one has seen or is able to see, to him be honor and power forever. Amen. There it is. There is no room for both and. There is room for having God, and that is all. Either you have God with eternal life, with Jesus Christ, or you have nothing to show for it but eternal death in hell. That's the total commitment of the man of God, to fight that good fight of faith. So God gives us a pep talk to the Christian, to see what is most important in this life and to flee from everything else and pursue that alone. And now, friends, with that singular focus, we pray to God that He would give us that direction, that commitment. Dearest Lord God, giver of life, and Savior from all of our sins, help us fight that wholehearted, that total commitment, that 100% fight of faith. Inspire us truly to deny ourselves, to readily, to happily give up everything, so that we may follow you in the way that leads to real, true, lasting, eternal life in heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.